love you. Again, I want to just say happy Father's Day to all our amazing dads. And I'm looking out here and I really am seeing some role models, some mighty men of God. And we've got some amazing fathers. And not just that, but there's fathers that show the goodness of God in their life. They show by their lives how good God is, how much mercy that God has given them. It's amazing when I'm looking out and I'm just seeing some of these men that's like, wow, when I grow up, I want to be a father like that. And so in honor of Father's Day, I thought that I would read some of the sayings from the official men's thesaurus. Did you know that there was a men's thesaurus? And this gives valuable insight to the meanings of some of the things that men say. So hopefully this will help you understand. All right, let's start off. When a man says, "It would take too long to explain," he means, "I have no idea how it works." When a man says, "That's interesting, dear," he means, "Are you still talking?" Again, I didn't write this. Don't be mad at me. I did not write the men's thesaurus. When a man says it's a guy thing, he means there's no rational thought pattern connected to this at all. You're just not going to make this logical. When a man says, "Can I help with dinner?" he means, "Why isn't it ready yet?" When a man says, "Sure, honey," or "Yes, dear," he means absolutely nothing. It is a conditioned response. When a man says, "Oh, don't fuss, I just cut myself, it's no big deal," he means, "I've probably severed a limb. I'm going to bleed to death before I admit that I'm hurt, so please come over and help me now." When a man says, "You look terrific," he means, "Please don't try on another outfit. We're late and I'm starving." Somebody knows this is the truth. This is the truth. When a man says, "I'm not lost. I know exactly where we are," he means no one will ever see us alive again. When a man says, "That's not what I meant. I didn't mean to say that," he means it's something I have said can be interpreted in two ways, and one of those ways makes you sad or angry. I meant the other one. And finally, when a man says, "I can't find it," he means it didn't fall into my outstretched hand, so I'm completely clueless. The men's thesaurus. My wife actually calls that dad eyes. She says, "I have dad eyes. I'm looking for something that I left right in a particular spot. And I know I left it right there because I don't put it anywhere else." And I said, "Where is it?" She goes, "It's right there. And it's just to the left." That's dad eyes. Anybody else in here have dad eyes? There's some dad eyes in here. All right. Your wife just told on you, man. Your wife just absolutely told on you. But today, we're going to continue our sermon series on being unqualified. And I apologize to you that I won't have any notes on the screen today. I didn't have enough time to prepare those notes. So that's the only thing you'll see on the screen. But we'll be reading some scripture and so forth. But this sermon series is absolutely like reading my mail. Like my entire life, I have felt unqualified. Like I've always felt like I've just been trying to catch up to everybody else. I've always felt like I wasn't big enough, I wasn't tall enough, I didn't know enough. I've always felt unqualified in my life. And so this message has really been resonating with me. And I don't know about you, but I tend to believe that God is mighty enough to use unqualified people. And I want to tell you today that God knows your limitations. He knows everything you can't do, everything you don't know, everything you don't add up to be, and yet God still happens to find a way to make something out of nothing. That's what this whole sermon series is about, being unqualified. And when we think of the word unqualified, we think of untrained, somebody that just doesn't have the training. Somebody that's completely inexperienced. I mean, have you ever seen somebody do a job and like you don't know what you are doing? We had a waitress at Pluckers the other day, and she goes, "This is my first time, but you're my first customer." And I was like, "Okay, we're going to be really nice to this lady." But an hour later, we finally got our food right. And I was late for coming back, and I was like, "Oh, I'm just going to have some mercy here." But we think of unskilled, unqualified. We think of people that just don't have it together. Folks that are unable to perform or unstable or unfit for the job or unlicensed. I honestly feel that every other person on IH-35 is unlicensed. I don't think they should be driving. There's people that I wish that when they do certain things, they should have to hand over their driver's license. Just hand it over. Have you ever seen somebody, when they're getting on the interstate, they slow down and stop at the end of the interstate? Yes, you've seen that person. You should hand in your license. That's it. That's it. That just drives me crazy. I'm like, you're supposed to go fast. You're supposed to get onto the highway. You're not supposed to stop because people will run into you. There's every other person on 35 just seems like they're unqualified. They're unskilled to be driving. And I bet you they're thinking the exact same thing about me. Everybody thinks everybody else is an awful, awful driver. But we live in a qualification crazy society. And just about everything we do, we feel like we have to live up to someone else's expectations of us. And social media has made this really, really bad. I mean, we try to live up to somebody else's Pinterest post. I see dads, you know, just like on vacation with their kids every other week, and I'm like, how do they do that? I want to go on vacation with my kids. I want to do that. And you see people post things, and they're showing the very best side of them. They're showing the best of them, and their pictures are perfect. And man, they've got even the things that they eat are just, oh man, we don't eat food like that. That doesn't look like what they ate. I'm sorry, baby, you make amazing food, beautiful food, absolutely the best. My wife's an amazing cook. I almost got in trouble right there. But, you know, you have to qualify to buy a car. You got to qualify to buy a house. You got to qualify to go to college. Did you know that you now have to qualify to adopt a pet? You have to go through an interview process to get a fur baby, to get a cat. I mean, they ask you questions. What are they going to ask you? What kind of food will you feed it? I will feed it cat food. What will you do with this cat? I will feed it cat food. I mean, what are, they want references. Why do they want to know? Like, I mean, it's a cat. So, I mean, everything requires some sort of qualification. And even in the business world, we look for good references. We want to see solid experience. We want to see that, you know, you've been able to handle a project before and that you've got these accomplishments. And we want this list of things that say, man, this person is qualified for this job. But all of that really doesn't impress God at all. God's not impressed with the same things that we are impressed with. Those things really don't make all that big of a difference to God. When we show God our resume, when we show God all the things we've accomplished, when we show God, look how smart I am here, God's like, that doesn't impress me at all. And biblically, for what I've seen in the Bible, God tends to use rejects. God tends to use people that really don't have it all together, that really don't add up to the task. He uses people that sometimes have no clue what's going on. God doesn't look for MVPs. He doesn't need to. And so you see these lists of people that God uses in the Bible, and wow, it's like, you know, some of them are like, what on earth were you thinking? But God sees things differently than we see things. He sees things differently than we see things. It's like God hires people right off of the street. It really is. It's like, how, you use that guy for that? That's amazing. It's like he just hires somebody right off the street. In fact, the funniest joke of ever is that God called me to be a pastor. That's funny. Because here's the thing, if God can use Will Krause, God can use anybody. He can use anybody. He uses me, a person that's absolutely terrified to get up in front of you. You people scare me. You terrify me. In fact, I do these control breathing exercises before I even come up on the stage to get my heart rate down because I'm afraid of talking to you. In fact, I'm thinking while I'm coming up, I'm praying, oh God, they were expecting Tommy Tinney today, a best-selling author, the guy that wrote God Chasers, and instead they're getting an associate pastor that's afraid to talk to them. So I know that God has a sense of humor. God is really, really funny. But you know what? God revealed something to me. He showed something to me. You know that pride is very, very tricky. Pride isn't just puffing yourself up. Hey, look at all of the things I've done in my life. God, look at this. Look how successful I am. That's pride. We sometimes think that's pride. But you know what also? You know, pride kind of is in another way as well. Pride comes when you think too little of yourself. When you think you're not anything or you're not worth something. In fact, it's like you go to God and say, God, you have never come across a mess like me. I'm an anomaly, God. You've not dealt with this kind of messed up before. And so what happens is pride sometimes makes you elevate your issues or your problems or your shortcoming or your brokenness above his power, his grace, and his mercy. And so pride is tricky. Pride gets you both ways. And so that's something that God has been working on my life. He's like, Will, you know you feel unqualified, but I qualify you. You feel like you're not up to the task, but I have called you for such a time as this. And I don't know where you are in your life right now or what you are facing, but I want you to know that God doesn't need something to make something else. God can take something out of nothing. God can use nothing and make something. And so sometimes we say, well, God, we need this, 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 and this for this to work out in my life. And God says, no, you don't. The Bible says that God calleth things that be not as though they were. God speaks things into existence. You know that God took a pile of dirt from the ground and breathed life into it and made man. And so if we think that we have, you know, qualification problems, I mean, think about being made from dirt. A pile of dirt. That's my qualification. I was made from a pile of dirt. And so God can use anything that he wants to use. He can use anything. And honestly, there's really not a long list of qualified people. I was just going through the Bible and looking through the Bible and thinking, okay, I'm going to make a list of qualified people in the Bible, and I'm going to read it off to you right now. There was Jesus. There was Jesus. And there was Jesus. I was thinking, okay, maybe Joseph. Maybe Joseph. Nope. Joseph had some issues. Joseph wasn't right in a couple areas. Nope, Joseph wasn't qualified. Okay, but what about Daniel? What about Daniel? Daniel was amazing. Nope, Daniel wasn't qualified either. He wasn't qualified either. There was just one in the Bible. Listen to this. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 26, it says, remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those that think they are wise. And he chose things that were powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, rejects, nobody. Things counted as nothing at all, and he used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. This proves that God can do something with nothing. And honestly, it proves that God doesn't need help being God. That God is amazing. That God is not limited. That God can do anything. That God deserves the praise when he takes something and makes something. When God takes nothing and makes something, that is where God gets the glory. Are you starting to see a theme or a pattern? But I want to read some scripture about somebody that God used in the Old Testament. And this guy, in just about every possible way, was the most unqualified person for the job. If you'll turn in your Bibles with me in 1 Samuel 16 and 6. I'm going to give you a little bit of a backstory here. At this time in the Bible, in the Old Testament, Saul was king. But Saul's heart had turned away from God. And the prophet Samuel was sent on mission from God to anoint a new king. And so Samuel came to a man named Jesse who had 8 sons. And Samuel had Jesse line up all of his sons and present them to Samuel so that Samuel could anoint the new king. And so let's start off in 1 Samuel 16 and 6. The first son comes up, and when they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, surely this is God's anointed. Bing, 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 we got a winner. This guy probably looked like Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Gunned up. Well, more guns. Way more guns. But this guy was probably like 6'6", 300 pounds of lean muscle. His hair was just blowing in the wind. He had that little gleam in his teeth that like twinkled. And he could probably do that thing The Rock does with his eye. I couldn't do that. I look like a weirdo when I do that. But this guy was everything you would think a king would be. He had the muscle. He had the brawn. He was the firstborn. He was the one that was supposed to be the guy that had it all together. And Samuel says, hold on. This is the guy. This has to be the guy. I'm not going to look at anybody else because I feel like this is the guy. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't look or doesn't see things the way that you see them. People judge by the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Look at your neighbor and says, the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse told his son Abinadab to step forward and walk in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, this is not the one the Lord has chosen. The next son came by, Shimeah. But Samuel said, neither is this one the Lord has chosen. In the same way, all 7 of Jesse's sons were presented to Samuel. Do you think God was trying to prove a point here? Do you think God had a... I think this story to me is humorous. But it was like God was trying to prove something to us and prove something to Samuel that God doesn't see us the way that we see each other. When we look at each other in one way or another, we kind of all size each other up. We go, oh, you're a doctor. Well, you're better than me. Or you're a lawyer. I'm better than you. I'm honest. I mean, we size each other up. We look at each other and we go, oh, okay, that guy's got it together. I don't have it together. I've got it together. That guy needs to be like me. And we do that. We look on the outward appearance, and so much of the outward appearance affects who we are and how we think we're doing. And so we judge, we compare, we look at each other, and we don't really look at the heart. We don't really look at the heart. So God's trying to prove a point here. I mean, he did it 7 times. I mean, he could have just anointed the king. He said, none of these guys are it. Bring me David. But it didn't happen that way. God wanted to say something, to prove something, to teach us something. But Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord hasn't chosen any of these. Then Samuel asked, are these all the sons that you have? And Jesse said, there is still the youngest, but he's out in the field watching the sheep and the goats. You see, David was not even on the radar. David didn't even make the list. In fact, David fell off of the list. Jesse probably loved his son, but he's like, yeah, you don't, son, you don't need to be here. This is, we don't need you here for this. Go and watch the sheep and the goats. And I mean, you know, he probably loved his son, but he didn't think his son had any of the qualifications of a king. Any of the qualifications. He didn't even make the list. Have you ever been passed over in your life? Do you remember the when you lined up to play kickball in school? They'd line you up from the tallest to the shortest. I was the shortest. I was the little kid that said, pick me, I can kick the ball really hard. Come on, pick me, guys. I was a little guy. I was a little guy. And have you ever been passed over in life? Have you ever made it to where you look and you're like not even invited? You're not even on the list. Can I tell you that I love that God uses passed over people? I love that God picks the short kid. I love that God picks the underdog. I love that God picks the shepherd boy out in the field that wasn't even invited. So Samuel said, send for him at once. We will not sit down to eat until he arrives. And so Jesse sent for him. The Bible says that David was ruddy and had beautiful eyes. He at least had some beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, this is the one, anoint him. And so as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and he anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. And then Samuel returned to Ramah. God doesn't see things the way that we see things. God measures the heart. God sees the heart above everything else, no matter how much we try to impress each other. Now, how much we try to prove things to each other. Now, how much we try to even prove things to God. He looks at the heart. Do you know that God knows who you are when you're all by yourself, when no one else is around, and you've got nothing to prove to anybody? God knows the motives, and he weighs your heart. He sees your heart. He sees exactly who we are. We are naked before him. God sees the heart. And I want to tell you, do you know what impresses God more than anything? Do you know what impresses God more than anything? It's a soft heart. It's a heart that turns to God. That's what separated David from all of his brothers, all of these lean, muscly, and kingly brothers. The difference was the heart. That's what separated. In fact, that's what separated King Saul from King David. King Saul's heart turned away from God, but King David's heart ran for God. And in honor of Tommy Tenney today, he was a God chaser. He was a God chaser. And it was his heart. It was all about his heart. Later on in David's life, David was used by God in a mighty way. He was a powerful warrior. He did all types of exploits for God, just did amazing things. And did you know that there was a time in David's life where David dropped the ball and really, really messed up? He committed adultery. He committed murder. He turned his heart from God for a little bit, and he staggered. And there was a point in David's life where he was a mess, where he was broken. And he wrote these beautiful words to God when he turned his heart and his life back over to God. He says in Psalms 51 and 16, he says, God, you don't desire a sacrifice, or I would give you one. You don't want a burnt offering. But the sacrifice you desire, God, is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. What God can do with an open heart. You know what God can do with a heart that's open to him? It's amazing. About 19 years ago, I took my first child home from the hospital. My daughter Isabel, she's not sitting here. I've embarrassed her the last two services. She's not here today. But I remember taking her and getting her ready and putting her in the car seat. And I remember having so much fear in my life. I was like, God, I don't know how to do this. God, I didn't grow up in a house where I knew what a good father was. I grew up in a home where I had a stepdad, a different stepmom. I grew up, and when my parents were together, they would beat each other. They would fight each other. There was doing drugs in the house. There was abuse. I don't know how to do this, God. And I remember thinking, God, this poor baby is getting just a raw deal. This poor baby has got a dad that doesn't know what to do, that is absolutely unqualified, that didn't have the tools. I didn't know how to do anything. I could barely take care of myself. How was I going to take care of a precious little baby? But you know what? Isabel had a daddy who gave his heart to Jesus. Isabel had a daddy who knew he was broken, who knew he needed a savior, who knew he was unqualified, who knew he had no idea what he was doing, who knew he needed a God to save him. She had a daddy that knew that if God didn't come in and change some situations in his life, there would be generational curses that would be passed down. And so the grace and the love and the mercy began to work on this daddy's heart, began to change him from the inside out. And did you know that love and that mercy and that grace made me a good daddy? I wasn't a perfect daddy. But every time I'd mess up, I'd go back to God and say, God, I need you. I'm unqualified here. I don't know what I'm doing. And there's stages in life even now where she's 19 and she's going off in the world. She was in New York last week with my sister, and she was wandering around New York City all by herself in Central Park. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, I need you. Help me be a daddy here, because I said, Isabel, go back to your room and read and pray and read your Bible until the end of this trip. I was terrified, still terrified. Every day I face situations where I'm not qualified. I don't know what I'm doing. And I want to tell you, you might be facing a situation right now that seems absolutely desperate, absolutely impossible for you. You may be in a relationship that seems like it's on the rocks, or a marriage that is on its last leg. I want to tell you, if you give your heart to Jesus, God can do anything. You know that your heart is a handle that God uses to do amazing things. And everywhere you think you fall short, did you know that God makes up the difference? Trust Him. Give your heart back to Him. See what God does with a soft heart, with an open heart. You may not be qualified, and you probably are not, but God can do an amazing things with broken people. He just needs your heart. Would you bow your heads? Let's pray. God, we ask that you just soften our hearts today. God, draw our hearts back to you. Heal us of any pride that we have in our life, any area or anything that we elevate above you. God, we ask for you to heal us of pride. We need you, Jesus. We can't do this without you. We're broken. We're unqualified. Forgive us of any sin in our lives. Come into our brokenness. We invite you in. Come into our lack. Come into our mess. Come into the cracks that are in our lives. God, today we give back all of the excuses. We give you every excuse. Let your grace, let your mercy, and let your love have its perfect way in our heart today. And let that qualify us for the purpose you have given us. And God, we're not going to take the credit for anything. We're going to give it all back to you. We give you all of the glory. We give you all of the honor. We love you with everything in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can you give God some praise in the house?